What's your cool gamer name that you'd want to go if you were like a streamer or something, like one of those cool gamer guys, you know? Like say you're an esports player, say you were on like for Counter-Strike or something. What would be your cool gamer name?
Are you trying to tell me that my gamer name is not cool enough that I have to change it?
T-Ninja Warrior? No. No, not good enough, bro. And definitely not Velux Desolter, dude.
My gamer tag has always been T-Ninja Warrior because
My name starts with T.
Yep, and I wanted to be a Ninja Warrior. Look at me now. Which is really interesting because my friend, who I met gaming... Sector 717.
Right. His real... He always wanted to be in a sector.
And we met, and that's what... That was my name to him, you know? And he was just here, and we watched me on Ninja. It's just weird. It's a weird
but
thing.
But that's too long. Like, what's the shorthand for that?
T-Ninj.
Hey, T-Nin.
T-Ninj?
T-Ninj.
T-I. That's not how you spell T.
T-I. Hell yeah.
Do you have one? Do you have a gamer? Are you going to start streaming? You got a gamer tag?
Skipper Tipper. Forever.
Woo, so cool. To be fair, I'm the only person in our our original group that hasn't changed their name.
From the OG?
Nate M3.
Nate M360.
No, you were Nate M815.
No, 360 was the OG.
Not to me.
A15 I had to make for Minecraft because something happened. There was some reason. I don't know why. It had to be different.
You know what's really funny?
What?
No one cares about this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we gaming right now?
We could
dropping
be.
Some news, guys. We're starting a new gaming podcast.
Wow. No, we're not.
That's movies, games.
That's gamers. Gamers.
So what have any other interesting funsies you've been up to? Hmm?
Was that an interesting funsie I've been up to? Halloween app. We've been gone for a while.
It's been a minute.
It's
been
like
we talk
3 weeks.
About that?
And I think it's funny because the last episode, or at least the last two, we were like, all right, guys, we're on it, okay? We new episodes every week, on time, no matter... And didn't do one for 3 weeks.
Here we are.
And I think it's really your fault, right? You want to go into that?
Yeah, it's 100% my fault, so I'm out. I got kicked out of the podcast.
Yep.
Now we'll just that the issues later. But first, got to start on high notes.
What's plaguing our nation?
So Halloween happened. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a fun thing that we did.
Yep.
I had a party in the dark.
You hosted a party in the dark. That's pretty cool.
It was a party in the dark because there was no power. And so...
That sounds really like awkwardly quiet, right? No music or anything?
So it sounds really strange. It sounds like you walk into just a dark room and everyone's just like dancing to nothing. So you randomly just feel like people rubbing up on you.
Yeah, like, it's just a lot of like, you know, shoes noises.
You just hear
like
and you sorry.
And then
like
rufflings?
How we're talking about,
I don't know.
Like we say it's in the dark, but apparently there's also no talking, no audio.
Well, if you're dancing, you're not talking. Who's like, so Good Friday. You can't see what I'm doing.
Shaking back and forth, bobbing.
Mm. Yeah, you can't just have a conversation.
Good Friday.
It's like dancing is the thing. You're supposed to be doing that instead of
and
talking.
Maybe singing, depending on the song.
I guess dancing and singing is weird unless you really know what you're doing. You know?
You got to concentrate on one or the other. The thing is, I learned...
Especially in a party setting.
I kind of learned to dance with singing, though.
Were you playing...
Musicals, you know?
Were you playing, like, songs with words, or was it mostly, like, kind of... Like, because, I swear, like, my experiences with
for
parties...
So, okay, there's
it was, like, you know, kind of, like, house EDM, kind of, like, weird shit like that.
Right,
that
so
really
the two events were Halloween, and then there was a wedding. Mm-hmm. We didn't dance at the Halloween party.
Oh, really?
That was why there was music playing, there was food, and we played, like, games.
Gotcha.
But we didn't, like, dance. There wasn't a dance party.
Did you guys do Halloween-themed games?
No. Oh. We played this game where it's, like, it's kind of like Never Have I Ever, but it's really, like, okay, so you have this card. It's called Do You Know Me?
And oh, is it right there?
Yeah, it's right here, guys, as you can see.
Is it drinking?
And you get, there's a bunch of, like, there's yes or no cards. You have five yes, five no cards, and there's a bunch of question cards. And you basically just learn things about... Let's see if there's a juicy one here. This is not... Okay. Is $50... I'm sorry. Is Nate currently carrying more than $50 in cash in their wallet? and you say yes or no.
Everyone some are really dumb. No, yeah.
Some are really dumb. But it's like, okay, it's just okay. Like trying to, whoever knows somebody the best, some of them are kind of more juicy.
I catch.
And whoever gets the most right gets the point for that round. So
there's probably a good sexy version of that game.
Yeah, it's called Never Have I Ever.
No, it's like, you have to like, somebody's like, does Tyler have a whittle peen? And then everyone goes, yeah.
Just like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So how was your Halloween? I heard some interesting things and I would like you to share.
Did kind of a standard, like, you know, drinking, and then we went to a club. I am not a club person.
I've
if
never
you know
been
me.
A club person.
Yeah. It's just something that kind of just ended up doing, got roped in, whatever, you know, it's kind of cool, I guess. Not usually a dancer. We've talked about this. I hate dance. It was actually like two episodes ago or whatever. We were talking about that interpretive dance crap. You remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, you've been drinking enough, you'll start doing just about anything. The second I start dancing at this club, lady walks right up behind me, starts playing my ass like bongo drums. which is always very surprising to me because I got nothing downstairs, you know? Just I'm a tall, thin boy. There's no ass.
I wish I was there to see it. I wish I was there. I can just imagine you just...
Yep. And ladies, those are my moves. It's kind of up like this.
Just patting them cheeks.
Which, let's be real for a second. If I did that to any woman under any circumstances...
Arrested.
To jail. So. People would probably kill me in the club before I could even get arrested.
Probably.
Yeah. But we just laughed it off. I was expected to just go, ha ha ha, and then walk off. But really, I felt violated. I don't care. I don't really. I don't give a shit.
Is that an open message? Yeah, is that an open invite for anyone that sees you in person just to grab you there?
Kind
of. Just
it's
slap
a little,
the
it's
booty.
Flattering, right? Right? Like,
is
I'm,
it?
Yeah, it is. It's like, okay. I mean, you know, they wanted to grab one of the. Like, cool, you know?
I don't know.
It
what
would get annoying after a while. If it happened a lot,
look,
yeah.
I'm not saying I look there, but mm-hmm. your.
Right.
What's going on down there?
My
not
B-hole.
Flattering. It's
wow.
not flattering.
That's rough, dude. Come on, bro. I have a normal guy ass.
Lack thereof.
Why? You like you're walking around some dump truck, bro.
I got more than you.
Whatever, bro. You want to compare asses, bro?
Camaro. Do I want a Camaro?
I'll go pants down, bro. Let's get him out.
That's such a weird thing of like, I feel like dudes talk mm-hmm. about seeing other dudes. And I'm like, I don't want to see another dude's anything. You know what I mean?
You don't want to see anything on me? You're looking at me right now.
No, like.
Is that unpleasant?
Like, is it? Are you one of those dudes that just doesn't care if you're just walking around like nothing with nothing on?
No. I'm not going to be like, I like being. I got to be like.
Like, I read this story.
There's different tiers. Like, I'm not going to walk around and just, like, my boxers around very many dudes and stuff like that. Like, even that feels a little bit like. I guess it all depends on context. Because, like, in a locker room, I'll never get, like, fully naked. Like, I'm not, like, an old dude in a locker room where I'll get fully naked. But there, I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, you know, changing.
Like, but, like.
Which makes sense. But, like, I don't know. Like some dudes, like, just at their house, like, they're having people over. They're just, like, you know. Pretty like half yeah. naked or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just chilling.
So
like,
I read this story.
I want to see your balls hanging out or whatever.
And it was a country, like country people.
Yeah.
But I read this story and it was back in the, maybe it was the 80s. I don't know. But there's some people hanging out, country dudes. And they were, I don't know how old they were, but they were adults. And they were like goofing around. They were drinking and stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were having a competition of who could pee the highest. You had to be able to pee over somebody else's head.
Well, I wouldn't do that for a lot of different reasons, not including the actual nudity.
But they just made a mark on a wall, and then they tried to pee over the mark. So yeah. At first I was like, I don't want to be like, can you pee over me? Ah, you can't. Now I'm covered in piss.
And they would open their mouths, and it was so weird. I would just get, they'd be like, ah, you missed. Ah.
And they go.
I'm sorry.
This episode
I'm
is
in
awesome.
Rare form today,
what
bro.
What is happening?
We're in rare form.
Oh, man. But...
you kind of make the last one a good one, right?
Dropping hints all throughout the So, but my point is, like, I would never... Even if that was, like, I would never do that with other dudes. Like, just whip it out and just start.
Well, in that situation,
peeing.
I don't think that they're actually looking at each other's dicks. Especially
no, but
if they're
still
like,
weird to me. I don't know.
Because, I mean, we've peed in front of each other before.
If I had a rash, a mouth.
On your dick? On your butthole? What? What was that?
My anus. My anus.
Yeah, okay.
Would you check it for me if I needed you to and had no one else to? I mean, I could go to a doctor. I could spend the money, but I was like, hey, I'm worried. Like, I feel like there's a bump here, and it's itchy, and it hurts. Will you look?
What the fuck would I do about a rash?
No, I just need you to, like, take a picture of it for
me. Yeah, that's a fucking
like,
rash.
Like, I need you to take a picture of it for me so I can see it. Would you do that?
Listen, if you've ever spent any time on OnlyFans, you know that it's very possible to take a picture of your own asshole.
But I'm trying, and I can't because, like, it's like... I have to make sure like
the hair.
I got to spread a little bit, and I got to use my hands for that.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
would
I mean,
you
that's
do that
a
for
medical,
me?
That's a medical
look,
thing.
Guys,
let's
look,
be
everybody,
serious.
Everybody
for a
listening.
That's a medical thing.
Everybody
okay?
listening right now. I'm not trying to be. I like how I'm just talking about like. I know that I'm trying to test my friendship limits here,
listen,
and I have to bring up if I'm spreading my butt cheeks.
It's
and
a medical
somehow,
thing. I would do it. You know, get
like,
in there, comb the hair out of the way.
This,
you know, just get
are,
it all.
People are sitting here like this is gross, but I'm just trying to test my friend. I'm sorry. It's be. With gross things, that's just the byproduct.
Yeah.
But that's not list like hone in on the key elements here. Ask your friends
now,
these
what
questions.
If, what if you and I let's flip this the other way? What if you
no.
and I were skinny dipping?
Oh, what's up? Why? Okay, first of all, wait.
We didn't bring our bathing suits.
We didn't
want to get our clothes wet.
Is
okay?
there anyone else around? Did anyone else come? Is it with a group of people?
Sure.
Because that makes it a little better.
It's just us and our five
look,
to
I
nine
live,
closest guy friends.
No, hold on. Step back. I live on a lake, okay, at this point in time.
Right.
If it's like 10 o'clock at night and we're just hanging out, because sometimes it happens, we're hanging out here, it's late, it's dark.
Yep.
What would you, if I'm just like, let's go skinny dipping in the lake, just me and you?
Yeah, I would leave.
Where, what?
No, I'm just saying, in this situation.
Let's just say,
now,
in this situation, somehow
this
we're all clothed
okay.
and in a lake yeah, together.
Yeah. Okay, and then I get bit by a water moccasin. A poisonous snake, right on my dangus. Okay, would you suck the poison?
Okay,
out?
So we are gonna move on to movies. I knew we were.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the worst episode. Jesus Christ!
There was a line. We were flirting with it. You jumped it like fast.
Just dived right over. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, boys.
Oh, I don't know where to go from here. let's take a break here and get a word from our sponsors.
Actually, our Audible thing finally ended.
Oh no, this is
depressing.
We just
forgot to do it.
Perfect timing.
We got $15 in that account, bro. We got to cash out.
You know. It's the last episode. I guess it's good timing. You know what I mean?
Are you gonna address it?
We're slowly addressing through the whole thing. We're just gonna scare people. So let's move on.
well, there's no movie news, so we're just kind of skipping that.
I guess I'll tell one more story before
okay.
we jump into anything else crazy. So since it's been a few weeks, the story's a little longer
been
now.
A while.
But I had an audition, and. It was very weird, and this is just the epitome, I think, of when I go on auditions just to kind of say, like, forget about how well it went, you did what you did, and you just got to move on to the next thing. So I had an audition. It was in person. It was in Atlanta, and I had to drive up there, and I was, like, just on time, or maybe I was, like, a minute late or something, and I was, like, or no, I was just on time getting to the door, and then I realized I forgot my mask, and I needed the mask to get inside.
Mm.
So I had to sprint back to my car in the parking lot in Atlanta, sprint back to the door. The door was locked. Couldn't find an entrance. So, like, all the main doors were locked. I had to, like, run around the building, finally found an entrance, and then I walked in, and I finally found that I had to find the room that the audition was taking place, and... I kind of peek in, and I see that there's, like, the director guy right over behind the camera, and I was like, is somebody auditioning right now? Kind of waited, didn't hear anything, walked in, and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry, I'm running a few minutes late, and there was just the people sitting behind the camera, and the space where you audition, and no one's there. I'm like, they're waiting for me. Like, it's bad.
And
I was like,
there
I'm so
he is,
sorry.
Steven Spielberg. saying, "Oh no, it's fine, Tyler Gillette." All the time in the world, not a busy guy.
So I walk up to him, I hand him my headshot and resume. They didn't ask for a headshot and resume in person, but I always like to bring them because I feel like,
what's in that?
It's pretty standard. Your headshot and resume, it's your headshot and your resume.
Okay. It's, well, you said it together like it was one thing. So it was a resume for your headshot. It's like, this is where they were done. This
headshot
is who did it.
And and resume. And you like staple them together, and it's pretty standard to do that, but some people don't do it if they don't request it, but I always do it. I feel like it helps you stand apart. So I was like, you know, I know you didn't request this, but I brought it. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like handing it to him, and he's like, I'm like getting ready to walk up. He's like, oh, great. Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, you can wait in our waiting room. I was like, oh. I was like, all right, cool. Not a great start. And so I was like, didn't know there was one. Don't know where it is. Like, it's okay. Our assistant producer or whatever will take you there. So she took me there, and there was like 10, 15 other people in the room. I was like,
and they all looked,
I walked
exactly like you,
right past this room. So I sat down, I waited, so I wasn't late for my turn. Mm-hmm. You know, I still waited like 15 minutes, got called in, and like the first thing they like say is, when I walked in, was like, oh, you run American Ninja Warrior, because I put that on my resume, and I'm like, it's always kind of awkward because mm-hmm. it's a good thing to put on the resume, but I'm like, I don't really. They like asked me how the show worked, and I was like, this isn't the time. It
that
was
would be a great short film where a guy walks into an audition, like he has that same thing where he kind of like screws up the beginning a little bit, like he's a little bit late, and like he kind of walks in the wrong place, and he's kind of like does all these little awkward things. And when he finally gets to the waiting room, it's like 10 or 12 other dudes that all look exactly like him,
yeah.
Except they're all just a little bit better looking than he is.
Just
and
like
then it's all just conversations he's having with the people around him awkwardly, and they're all describing that he's like wrong about why he's there or the part, and he's got like the wrong info, and like everything is just going wrong.
It's always one of those things where you think like you're like something's off, but you can't like pinpoint what it is. So like in La La Land, when she auditions and when she's walking out, she passes by all the people that look like her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's just such a surreal thing to like go to a place in a collection of like clearly they were looking for a specific look that describes you but also describes all these other people, and it's just like you're the amount of instant judgment you're going over in that room of as far as like you're looking at everyone else seeing if they're better than you and they're doing the same thing to you. I hate that. That is a deal breaker for acting for me.
Well,
buddy.
As much as I as hilarious as that would be, because it would make a better story, and as fun as that would be, that did not happen. Like there weren't people that looked exactly like me.
Hmm.
There are different looking people. This role was very vague. It wasn't super, super specific.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, then I go in there, and then after doing all that, I start the audition,
right?
And I'm saying my lines and all that, and I kind of blank on one of them, so I took a long pause, but I ended up saying it. We did it again, and they're like, oh yeah, try to take less of a pause there. I was like, cool, I thought that was a character choice. It wasn't. and then we did it again, completely forgot the line, and I had to like, I literally had to say, I'm so sorry, can we please start again? I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry.
Woo.
I just got up and like walked back to my starting position. Yep. I was like, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, no worries. They were so nice and super chill. And then, so I did. And that next time I nailed it. The craziest part about all this is I didn't feel super awkward or embarrassed or weird.
Yep.
Mainly because I guess I've gotten better at knowing like this stuff's going to happen. And if anything, I was like, I made an impression. The first thing that I did, made an impression, handing him a headshot and resume before he even, like, I introduced myself twice.
Right.
So he'll remember me. And I wasn't late for my audition slot. So it's like, it wasn't too bad. I don't know. I just kept moving. And then once it was done, I kind of like tried to forget about it. I got the part.
Well, hell yeah, man. Good for you.
So that was just such a weird story of like how things just go so weird. But it was just a short film, and the role was not anything crazy, but the role was Mysterious Man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mysterio. We're doing a low-budget superhero.
And I dressed in, like, an all-black suit, and I felt like John Wick, and it was dope.
Wow.
I posted it on my social media, so.
Nice.
It was fun. It was cool. But, yeah, that was that whole story, and it was a lot of fun, and people were, it just, like, you just have to control the situation. Like, when you were in there, like, I didn't act nervous. I was like, oh, yeah, no worries, and, like, here's my thing, and whatever. You know what I mean? To control
the situation.
Be like,
can we redo this? Can we?
No, you don't say can. We say we are.
We're redoing this. I'm the director.
Look at the other actor I was acting with, because this audition was like I was with somebody.
Yeah. Ooh. If you're reading with the director.
I don't like the way you did that.
If you're reading with the director or the assistant director, give them notes. That's a power move.
Well, this one was.
I didn't really like how you did that right there. So, I'm sorry. I just.
So a lot
of characters are supposed to have chemistry. You know that, right? Okay, just making sure. You know.
Listen. I don't think you know much about this character. I did a lot of character research. I wrote this.
I fucking wrote him.
No, but for this situation, usually you do read with somebody like that, like a reader. But this, I guess they had auditioned the other parts first, and they really liked this one guy, so they had him read with everybody else because they were going to cast
him. Then you definitely should have waited into him, dude. That would have been great.
And it was the same guy they ended up casting.
Yep.
Because when I got there, it was the same guy I read with in my audition.
Right.
So, yeah, it was
That's
cool.
Wild.
So that was my most recent, see?
Wow.
As a man in a black suit carrying a briefcase.
What a little dapper boy.
Yeah. So, that was that. That was my most recent.
Neato, neato burrito, dude.
Yeah. So, movies.
Movies.
All right. Movie news. What you got?
Nothing. There's nothing going on.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I literally read a headline under some movie news that popped up on my phone that said, Thor Love and Thunder is adding another Chris. It's just Chris Pratt. We knew this. Exactly. So like that was an article that you. I'm going to complain about this every single time we talk about movie news. The articles suck. They're all terrible. I hate them all.
Yeah, I don't have any movie news. There's obviously a couple things here and there about more Marvel things, but that's it. Oh, I guess the one thing is that they actually did give us a release date for WandaVision. I think it was.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think it's July 15th, 14th or 15th. WandaVision.
July,
really?
Oh,
I'm sorry,
year?
January. I meant
oh,
January.
Jesus,
it was a
was
J.
Like,
J month. That's. I'm sorry.
So do you think there's like 1 month I can save in between those two?
January 15th.
15th. When if Mandalorian ends before December 15th, I can save a month.
I don't think it's going to.
Of Disney Plus.
But.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
That's
won't.
The only movie news I can think of.
It's not even a movie. It's not even a movie.
Hey, we talk about TV. In fact, today's episode.
Yeah, it's all. This is actually the first episode we're doing that's just about TV.
Is it?
Yeah, we've never actually done that before.
Way to switch it up on the last episode. All right.
We just keep doing this. People have to keep listening.
All right. Before we get into the main news, sure. A little bit of an update. I will be taking a little bit of a hiatus.
Sabbatical.
From the cast. I'll probably jump in every here and there every couple weeks before for a little bit, taking a little bit of hiatus. So you'll have the good old Natimus over here.
Yeah, if you thought we talked about butts and wee-wees before, man. Woo!
I'm scared with who they're getting to fill my position. And tune in.
Yep.
To figure out who that's going to be, we have some
I will
ideas.
Keep the cast very much alive. If you are just a Tyler fan, well, keep listening. Give me a chance. Come on. I can do this.
No, it's cool. I enjoy the podcast. It is going places, but there's just a lot of different things happening and reasons, which I'm not going to go into detail. But, yeah, I'm not leaving forever. But I figured I'd let you guys know that. And with that being said, let's jump into the main bit since we don't have any other movie news. Mandalorian.
Yep. Mandalorian. We're going to talk about the first three episodes.
Of season two.
Now, we've talked about season one a little bit in kind of vague general tones. We both have stated that we enjoy the show. I think that there are definitely flaws with it. I think it's kind of it's just a little bit lazily written as far as it just seems like, and almost to a little bit that they aren't really sure, like with the first scene, especially like where they were going with the show and how many seasons they're going to get. And like, you know, I mean, like they don't have a general, it doesn't feel like they have a really solid plan for this. It just seems like they're kind of going along as they go. And especially this seems to carry over into this season too, where I feel like they're just, they're not sure how fast they need to resolve the whole, because the main plot of the show, you find out after basically like the second episode of season one, is that he's got the child, Baby Yoda, and he has to try to figure out how to return this kid to where he's supposed to be.
Right.
But they're really like, you know, We're three episodes in and basically have made no progress towards that goal.
Yeah, it's very much.
And so it feels like they're feeling like they have to drag it out because they want to keep selling Baby Yoda toys and they're not quite sure where they're going to go or how long this is going to go. But that being said, I still think if this show came out with a new episode every Friday for the rest of my life, I'd probably watch just forever. I just love the Star Wars world and seeing it from this perspective so much that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything wrong with dragging out like that, because they do kind of pick up right at the end of every episode. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this season does, last one didn't. That's for sure. They had like weird jumps in between where it'd just be like, yeah, all of a sudden they're like doing a new thing, you know? It was very much more like vignettes in the last one. And this one's like he's having a vignette like every 6 hours.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, this is definitely more of like they do a lot of like one-off little adventures. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of plot arcs in this.
Yep.
Like the classic, especially in the first episode.
Cowboys and Indians. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it always seems like. I want your help. But so there is that kind of reoccurring, and I guess it's not necessarily bad, but if they do it over and over.
Every single episode of this season you need something? Oh, first you got to help me.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, helps them, gets the thing, moves on.
Gets like one little scrap of a thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What did he get from actually helping the frog lady? He like still had to be like, he still had to pay a guy in the bar to actually find out what the other Mandalorians were.
To be fair, that one was actually probably the most interesting as far as helping somebody get something else out of someone, just because it wasn't like helping the frog lady in of like, herself, because it was, I need to go to, I need to find out more info. This ant dude was like, I know where you can find it, but I have this person you need to help get there or something. He's like, or is like basically saying this is where you go. And then later it was like, yeah, well, you got to take this person. Like that wasn't part of the deal. Yeah. So that person, it wasn't like he was helping the frog lady, but she was one that was like shoot into it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Instead of like the main person who set it up, which was like the ant dude.
Yeah.
Like she was almost a sub part yeah, but the, of that, the but husband, then it was like he turned into helping
the frog
her.
Lady's husband was more supposed layers. To tell the Mandalorian where more Mandalorians were when they got there. Not what happened. He went and paid a guy at the bar to another like Akbar. I can't remember what they're called, but the squid people. He had to go pay one of them to tell him where to go.
Yeah,
it was like, so you did that for nothing. You went through all that hell for nothing.
Well, it's not really nothing because he knew that he had to. The only person that was reaching
there.
But he didn't know who to really look for. The only person he knew to look for that reached out saying, I have some info, was the frog guy. And the frog guy, the only info he had was, I know they go to this bar. I can lead you to the next person.
Sure. Let's start from the beginning.
And the frog guy had a reason to reach out. He's like, oh, if I tell them I've seen them, I can say, yeah, I'll lead him to the next guy if he brings back my wife. So he had a good ultimatum.
So let's start from the beginning.
Okay, do you want to start with overall, or did you give your good overall hot takes?
Overall hot takes. I mean, I feel like basically this second season, I feel generally so far the same. Now, the first episode of this first season is really strong. Definitely my favorite of the three that we've seen so far. It looked great, and I like the story a lot more as far as what they were doing. I mean, it's nothing overly complicated, but the way that they did, especially with like Tusken Raiders and then Timothy Oliphant's character of like the kind of sheriff type deal. All that was great. Overall, I do feel like it's still a bit of a lazy written show. And I'll go into kind of some of those details because there's just a lot of stuff that's, it's kind of oxymoronic in a way because there's a lot of things that clearly people have spent a bunch of time detailing things and adding little like hints towards other things and adding cool things like some of the Mandalorian characters that you see in the third episode were big deals in the Clone Wars. Now they're in live action, so that's kind of cool stuff. There's clearly a lot of attention to detail in some things, and then other ways there's just like they'll just throw out like a one-liner where it's like, oh yeah, here's a massive problem really for no reason. Like, you know, like Frog Lady and her eggs and Lightspeed. She can't go to Lightspeed or the eggs will die. Why? I don't know. They'll just die because they're going fast. Like, what? Why? That isn't what? that those eggs can survive on the coldest planet ever. Yeah. But, you know, fuck it. You know, fast speed, no good. You know, it's just weird. Stuff like that is just odd to me. But like I said, I'd still watch this show forever, so fuck it.
Yeah, my thoughts are pretty much just all good. There's obviously parts that bother me, like small things, but as far as the show and how it's done, mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. I think it's such a cool new look at the Star Wars universe, like you said.
Yep.
And I remember you saying that at the end of the first season, though, there were some issues that you had with the way it was going. Am I wrong?
I have some. I think I've always had issues with little bits of like how they get from certain places, just narratively, like how the story progresses itself. I like all the characters are great, and the overall like you know world that they're exploring and living in, and stuff, all that stuff's fine. It's just there are little details about things, and certain there's a lot of like. You know, I feel like our main character is constantly getting really lucky, too, which kind of bothers me a bit. You know, he gets saved for being a badass Mandalorian. The guy is getting saved, like, 90 times in a season by just random people showing up and helping him out. So it's a little, you know, that's why I kind of feel in some ways it's a little cheap just in the way that it's written. That I feel like, here's what happened. Disney goes to Jon Favreau and he gives him, like, a team of, like, you know, a couple dudes. And they're like, all right, you got 6 weeks, write a season. And then they leave because they got to film it all and do all the extensive CGI for the entire rest of the time because they're pumping it out 1 year after the next. So it's like, I really think that they're just under an incredible time constraint with the writing. And that's why it's kind of coming out to be a little bit lackluster in that department.
And maybe that's why they decide to do set like almost like one-off episodes. Like there is a story arc.
I think
but
that
like,
was always the point of the show. But yeah, I can see
that. That way it's like, as long as you enjoy each one in its own story, you can overlook some of the other overarching stuff a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I really like it overall. Nothing egregious has happened to where I'm like, I just can't. And even, I don't think get to the point where I go, I just can't and stop watching
it.
It
would have to be really
bad. But it's not like, it's at the point where I'm like, Like, I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I think the more you end up thinking about it, the worse it's going to get in your head.
Well, it's like, things get complicated. The coincidences, I actually agree with you on that. Mm. There's a lot of those, but and him getting saved and stuff. But there's a lot of complicated things and how one thing leads to the next. And you say it might not always kind of mesh together, but just like all the complexities and stuff and all the different places they have to go to. And it's Star Wars. And it's like, I could see it. Like, I give it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Nothing crazy has happened to where it just has thrown me off.
I tell you what. I want to get on a micro detail here. The first thing that really that baffles my mind, this happened in the beginning of the first episode.
So there's something that happened in the first episode too.
Yeah. So just to recap, the beginning of the first episode of the second season, Mandalorian goes to this like underground kind of like fighting ring where you see the guards from Jabba's palace are like in a boxing ring with their like weird axes going at it. And there's like a Cyclops guy who's like kind of like a bad dude who's trying to get information on. Cyclops guy tries to double cross him, betray him, whatever, and so he gets into a big fight, uses those whispering willows or whatever they were called, and you know, shoots him out, gets everybody, and he ties the main guy to a lamppost by his feet, and he's like, give me the information, I'll let you live, and he's like, okay, I'll tell you, and he tells him, and then he lets him hang there.
He didn't say he'd let him live, but okay.
Well, he said he wouldn't kill him.
He said, don't kill me. He goes, give me the
something
information.
Something along those lines.
You won't die by my hands.
Right.
Yeah.
He shoots the lamppost, and then as soon as he shoots the lamppost, it gets dark right around the guy, and you see like 12 red eyes light up, and then all these creatures just instantly swarm and eat this guy.
Yep.
Now, this is a problem, because this is addressed that this street corner is so dangerous that at any given moment, right outside of the light, there's like 12 lizards
Did you not see him when he walked in? So before he walked into the bar, he was walking down the street with the lights, and I liked it because they were like, they're like shadow creatures. Like they do not come out in the light. So there are street posts or street lamps or whatever. And the Mandalorian's walking before he even gets to the bar and he's going to the left and right. And in the shadows, you see those eyes.
So no, then
he
goes in,
he comes out. That's why he shoots it, because they can only come out into the darkness.
Yes.
So
no, cool. I understand the premise.
It's dangerous planet.
The idea that basically everywhere on the streets, why would you live here?
I don't know.
why isn't there better street lighting?
But guess what?
Think about that for a second. If it is that dangerous, you guys would invest in so much more light. So much more. Light is cheap. It's Star Wars. It's light. There's like power.
Well,
is easy.
I like to think that it's like there are. I don't want to watch Star Wars and everything just be great. Like, my point is, in our world, there are cheap places. There are rundown areas. Mm-hmm. And this was like a rundown area. There was like this mob boss type guy who's living in this rundown area and kind of, you know, has a little bit of under the table kind of stuff going on with this boxing or fighting arena in this rundown spot. So it just added to that. To me, it wasn't. Yeah, I didn't find that an issue. I thought it was cool. Because I don't want to see, like, oh, just more lights. Like, that's an easy fix, but, like,
yes,
I don't know what they're...
apparently a huge problem.
But I don't know what they're going
through.
Because
you're in the dark for a second.
But I don't know what they're going through in that area on that planet. Like, again, it's a rough spot. So it's like, I don't know how easy it is for them to get light. I don't know.
I think you're being... I mean, fair enough. You do your own thing. Just, but to me, that's like... My mind goes wild because I'm thinking... You have people, you have food, you have all this stuff. Why would you live? I mean, Star Wars is special because it seems very easy to just kind of move in between places and do things.
That's the interesting thing is because we see this from a different perspective of Mandalorian, you see all these other areas and planets. I wonder if that is one of those planets. I want to see a planet where it's not easy to get off the planet. Where not all people have
those
ships.
We saw with like the people in the third episode of the first one where they're like fishing for little krill and they're like basically just farmers who just have sticks. You know, there's like no technology to them whatsoever. Like, I get that and I understand why they would be there. I mean, even there's danger there, but it still makes sense. It's like relative danger and stuff like that. But this is like, you know, it's like if you lived in a world where, you know, if you had to constantly wear a helmet and if you ever took it off for a second, you'd instantly die. It just seems wild to me, right? Like that.
Yeah.
There was no other option. You were stuck right there. You have to live in that spot with those crazy shit. I don't know. It just felt like it was a cool shot and I liked the idea of it, but there's just no logic behind that to me whatsoever.
I disagree. I think we weren't given enough information to really... Like if we had more information on the creatures, then it makes, I don't know. It just, they put two and two together for me and it wasn't that hard to not have an issue with. But there are other things that have an issue with one main thing in that episode. So should we just start going episode by episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens. And then he goes to the planet, with the dude who got Boba Fett armor.
Oh, sorry.
What's up?
Real quick, that same Cyclops guy says, thank the Force at one point.
Yes.
What do we know about the Force? Why is it a mystery to some people and completely, it's like saying thank God to others? Like, this is wild to me. I hate the weird Star Wars retcon bullshit where it's like, oh, everyone knows about Jedi. Nobody, what?
So my question is, I'm wondering if, which this is going to sound really dumb because I think it's supposed to be, but can people know about the Force
and not know about,
not
Jedi?
Know about Jedi? Because they are very linked, and that's what I mean. I think they're supposed to be very linked. But I'm wondering if there's like, oh, we know about the Force, but like we don't know. You can't be in control of the Force. That's
feels
crazy.
Like,
you
that
know
feels
what I mean?
Like knowing about Congress, but you don't know about the president.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying they're like they're really tied together.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the Force is like this kind of ethereal, like non-tangible thing that they know. Maybe they know the universe kind of is run on. You know what I'm saying?
But
like
the Mandalorian just thinks that the kid is a telepath up until he's told
right.
About
but maybe
Jedi.
Maybe they didn't know. Like I didn't know, like that Jedi can control the Force. I'm giving them way too much credit by having that thought, but I'm just playing devil's advocate, sure. Having that thought, wondering, because I agree. And then there was a moment that the Mandalorian said, I don't know if it was this episode or the second, I think it was the first one, where he said, may the Force be with you, before he walks away from somebody.
Oh, and then, yeah, and then they say, and also with you, which, which first of all, isn't that taken straight from Catholicism? Don't they say that? It's like, may the Lord be with you and also with you.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that's a phrase. I used, when I was a kid, I went to like one of those weird Catholic Christian churches. It's not Catholic and it's not, they're Christian, like a non-denominational, like regular Christian church, but they do Catholic stuff.
Did you go to a cult house? What are you saying?
You went to a masquerade. Don't talk to me about cults, bro.
You're like, I went to this Christian Catholic church that wasn't Christian and it wasn't Catholic.
Well, no, it was Christian, but but they did Catholic stuff. Like they wore the clothes and they did like the scented
clothes. Yeah, clothes are nice to wear.
You know, like the robes with the hats. They wore funny hats sometimes, but they played rock music. I don't know, man.
Let's move on.
The Pope was there, but he was like, I don't like what's going on here. Yeah, so it's weird how they all the different kind of stuff.
Okay, so instead of I was trying to like kind of go through that episode chronologically, but I'm gonna just jump to the thing that I had an issue with, and then we can kind of touch on the other things we liked. because that's at the forefront of my mind. So at the end of this episode, the dragon.
Great dragon.
Was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when at the very end, they're fighting the dragon, and then he... The explosives don't fully work on him or whatever. Yep. And then he basically decides to have him eat the bantha.
Yeah.
And because he has like a bunch of explosives on the bantha. So, and he stands there, gets his attention, and then he eats the bantha and him.
Right.
Instead of just at the last second jetpacking away, which bothers me because... You know how dangerous it's been for every other person that's been eaten by that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And the acid spit that comes out of it? And the fact that I'm like, he's going to be eaten, and now he's going to bust out of it. It was way too of a hero trope that really negated all of the stakes for me. I was like, well, now we didn't have to be worried about him being eaten by it because he just got on the inside and blew it up from the inside. It's like, it's so... It really bothered me.
It's kind of funny is that, like, sometimes the Mandalorian will get stuck in these situations where it's like, oh, shit, like, if something... He's like, I'm definitely going to die from this situation. Like, in the third episode when he's like... Apparently, drowning is a big deal for him because he gets stuck under the water and they're like poking him with sticks to try to get him to drown for his armor and stuff like that. So, like, he was totally fucked in that situation, but he can get swallowed by like a, you know, 100-ton sand lizard worm. He's fine.
Yeah, and the issue was that they made it very apparent that you don't want to get eaten by it. Yeah. Multiple of the sand people got eaten, instantly dead. You're supposed to be like, don't get swallowed.
I mean, he's got the armor, which I guess could deflect acid.
Get out of here.
Hey, you play Devil God up here for my thing.
I'll let you, but it's dumb.
I agree. It is also dumb, yeah. You know, it's had to have a find a way to... I think it's kind of funny that,
between
like...
Between his plates of armor, there is cloth.
Right.
And you could see on that, like, acid spit that it was, like, melting things away.
Yeah, completely. Like almost instantly.
Even if the armor plates did, everything in between...
Else,
dude, that's getting to him. And it's like, there's that. There's the fact that... let alone he got swallowed by it, which maybe I can get over the fact that maybe the teeth, even though that thing had like five different rings of teeth, how does it not puncture? But let's say that he swallows him whole without a bite. Okay. But again, it's like, I hate that happens a lot. I feel like in movies
and
TV shows.
His little taser thing on the end of his gun was enough to get him to like eject him.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like to him, that should be like licking a battery.
Well, I didn't even necessarily think it was just that. I figured like...
They showed this like big...
Yeah. Well, I think it was that mixed with the explosion and he busted out of there in the middle of the explosion. Because if you're being exploded from the inside, you're going to be screaming. You know what I mean? Open your mouth. But my point is, a lot of movies, I feel like and stuff do that where they get eaten by these big monsters. Like, they're dead and they bust out. And I'm like, that's so classic and tropey, especially when... In this episode, we saw so many people get eaten by it, how they're trying to avoid being eaten by it, how dangerous the acid inside of it. I'm like, you're negating everything and then just saying that he can survive it. And it's just like, I don't know. It got rid of all the stakes for me. And I was like, man, that just lessened everything before it. So that really bothered me. But besides that, it was cool. I like the premise. The dragon was really cool.
Yep.
All they had to do was have him like hold the bantha, and right before he was about to, just have him rocket away. Like, because that would have been fine.
He
would have survived, he shouldn't have, like, thought he was going to, which he didn't, because he thought he might die, but I'm like, he's not going to die. It was so dumb.
I'll tell you what, though, it did look really good. They went from widescreen into full screen for that sequence where he's fighting the dragon, and it looked amazing. Especially, like, on my TV and stuff like that, I was like, holy shit, like, this is the best-looking television show
ever.
Yeah.
I thought that while I was watching it too. I'm like, this is insane how much money they put into it. It looks like a movie.
The CG is just insane. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Which is crazy though, because some of the CG on certain parts don't look great, and you could tell they saved it from the dragon
part.
Which is fine, because it wasn't like the parts that weren't that great were totally okay. Mm-hmm. They're acceptable, they're passable. But you could just tell it was not at the level of, like, the dragon fight.
You know, I love how they still use a lot of, like, puppetry stuff, especially on, like, Baby Yoda and stuff. But, like, in the third episode, when Baby Yoda's playing with the little tadpole that the frog people make, it looks so much like that little tadpole's just on a string, and they're just pulling it up over and over, and it's just kind of doing a little puppet dance, you know? Like, it looks so bad. Which, there's a whole thing about that I got to talk about later. But, this first episode's great. I like Timothy Oliphant a lot. I love that little, like, quick Boba Fett bet, like, tease, like, no, it's not him. But they do show him at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, which is a big thing. Makes me wonder, I guess it's only been a few years. What is it, like 5 years after Return of the Jedi?
Good question.
I'm pretty sure that's the general time frame for this show. Which means that obviously,
yeah,
Boba
5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi.
So Boba Fett's just been chilling on Tatooine, looking for his armor, I guess, for the past 5 years.
Okay. So I guess we'll jump into that. I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to say before we jumped into the big part at the end, which is,
I guess, I mean, there's some stuff. I like that. He made a speeder out of the pod racer part. That it looks, it's not the same one, but it's the same type as Anakin uses in Phantom Menace.
Say that again?
The speeder that Timothy Oliphant's character is riding?
I thought it might have been something
like
that. Pod
racer engine. That's what I thought. From I don't think it's from exactly Anakin's. That would be way too crazy.
It's
but
not.
Yeah, I think his was yellow and that one was red.
And Anakin's was like a tube, where this one was like an oval shape.
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to look like the same kind of model, pretty much. They looked very similar. Yeah. But yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I thought that was cool. That helps, like, kind of, I like that kind of world building stuff. Just a lot of cool stuff about, I loved all the, just talking with Tusken Raiders and like kind of having them kind of figure stuff out together.
Yeah.
And like kind of giving
I
them
was wondering
more
if you were
lore
like
and stuff.
That.
I really did actually. Yeah.
I was wondering, I was kind of, when I was watching that, I was like, I wonder if Nate's going to hate that there's less mystery behind this, the sand people.
I think there's still plenty of mystery. It just kind of gave them a little bit more of kind of their own culture, opposed to just being these like naturally violent, you know, things. Because I knew from, you know, outside the movies canon that basically Tusken Raiders are like natives of Tatooine who are mad that people are stealing the moisture out of the ground. They think it's all theirs. Mm. So it's very much supposed to be kind of a cowboys and Indians things, where like Indians were here first, you guys got to get out of here. Like, but it's like that kind of stuff. So, and they just kind of expanded on that while still holding it true. And it's very much in like a kind of Western feel of having like your main mysterious protagonist be able to kind of like talk with them and like, you know, be the gap between cultures type of a deal. I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was cooler than just having them, you know, kill a bunch of Tusken Raiders.
Yeah,
while they were out
I actually did like the fact that I feel like it's been done a few times, but I like the fact that they had to put aside their differences. I like that they put aside their differences to help for the greater good, because in a lot of other things, when you see that, they do that. They put aside their differences for the greater good to fight this evil, and that's it. But they showed a lot of like specific moments where there was tension that I liked. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds very like obvious, but I don't know. They did. They showed that tension. Whereas other times, like when you have two different parties and they're putting aside their differences, sometimes they do that. Like, yeah, we got to put our side of differences. Okay, and then there's buddies like the whole time, and that didn't really happen. And like the. What is his name? The guy who was in Boba Fett's armor. Doesn't matter.
I can't remember his name. The actor's name is Timothy Oliphant.
But he, like when he was like getting like pissed off at
he's the hot salesman stuff. From The Office.
Oh yeah, he is. I was gonna say I recognize him from somewhere.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, when he was like arguing with them over the fire one night and stuff, and I don't know. I liked it just because
it's always gonna sound goofy whenever you try to have like a character do like talk in like a language. Like it's like when Han in Solo is trying to do like Wookiee speak to him, it sounds goofy as hell. And same thing when the Mandalorian's going like that, like trying to talk to him. It's goofy for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that or not, because I almost wish that like you. This might sound dumb, so it's not that I didn't like it. It's just it was interesting, I guess, because I get it. But part of me is almost like, I wish that's just how the Sand People talked and they came up with their own language in that way. And almost like no one could really talk it, or it was very, very hard to.
Well, it should be like based on their biology. Because I mean, because I assume that they don't look like us under all this stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I almost feel like they can't make words.
It's like Jawas,
right?
Like, you know, they sound that way probably mostly because of like their anatomy. So it's like,
that's what I'm saying. Well, that's why I'm surprised that like somebody like Mandalorian, who is humanoid, can. Yeah. Speak like that, which was interesting to me, because I don't know, I'm not saying that maybe nobody should be able to, but it I don't know, part of me was like, weird that people can learn that language of them, you know what I mean? But
I do like that this show can kind of just pick up oddball character actors and just throw them in the show for an episode, and they just like play a character like him in that one. And then in the third episode, the guy from Bosch is like the main lead Imperial guy. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
In which one?
He's in the third episode, the main Imperial guy on the ship.
Oh yeah,
who kills himself at the end? Yeah, he's like the he has his own show, or I think it's over now, called Bosch on Amazon Prime, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff. And it's just kind of neat to see him like pop up and stuff and go.
It's kind of interesting though that they do that, because
like Bill Burr was in the first season and
right.
stuff.
It's interesting because you would think they want to save some of these people for like either their movies or other shows or stuff, instead of just have them pop up that quickly.
Yeah, I like that. They're not worried about that.
I enjoy that, but it's just interesting when you have things like Marvel or Star Wars where they are so concerned about keeping the continuity of like the characters, and it's ever so expanding, and it's like once you cast somebody in a role, it's not like you can cast them then for something else.
Right. No, I totally agree.
For like one episode, but it's kind of cool. It allows you to really not know what to expect with people who are going to show up.
I will say there's one thing that the show that's just makes it cheesy that's really hard to do. Sci-fi does this all the tough. It's all the little like somehow in the original Star Wars and to an extent even the prequels and the sequels, they get away from a lot of this like cheap sci-fi talk that they always do in sci-fi movies, where they come up with all this slang and stuff that just sounds weird to hear. You know, like in the Maze Runner movies, they always call them like greenies and stuff like that, or like there's a whole bunch of sci-fi movies and that do it. Like I think that show The Expanse does it too, where they come up with all these weird terms for people that are like, so a lot of times they're like derogatory because, you know, like people are being mean to each other or something like that. But it makes it feel like cheap sci-fi. Like in the first episode, Timothy Oliphant says, like, I guess the two suns shine on a womp rat's tail every once in a while. It's like, fuck, dude, that was the worst line I've ever heard in my life. Like, jeez, man. And so when those and the curly haired woman that fixes his ship on Tatooine does it a lot. I hate when she's on screen because her lines are so bad.
Yeah,
she's constantly like, I'd give you a double if I wasn't such a doozy here on Mos Eisley. Like, she's saying just dumb sci-fi crap, and I hate it. I don't know how the original, other than Luke saying, but I was going to go to the Kashi Station for power converters. That's the only bad line I can think of in the original that makes it seem like cheap sci-fi. But this show, there's a couple of times where it's really prevalent.
I think that's the personal thing too, because some people might like that. Like, oh, they're talking about other things.
There's a way to do it, and the way that it's just a feeling you get when you hear it. It's just, nah, that's cheap, man. That feels like you're trying to make it.
Okay, so are you surprised? I think there were rumors that we were told that, or were we confirmed that that Boba Fett was going to show up? I can't remember.
I don't think that we were. I was surprised by the end of it. When he first popped up, I was like, that's not him.
I rewound it. I was like, wait, that's him.
No, because like you could tell by like how shitty he looked in the armor and stuff like that. Like,
No. I'm talking about the end.
Oh, at the end? Yes. I was definitely surprised. Yeah, that's him. Cool. Okay, I'm glad that they're doing that opposed to just... I thought they were just going to reference him by having his armor show up, and I was like, well, I mean, you know, it's probably pretty realistic that he'd fucking die in there, but in that pit. But at the same time, you know, it kind of feels like a missed opportunity. But when he shows up, I'm like, oh, sweet, cool. Like, I'm excited to see where that goes.
But does that cheapen anything for you when first the dragon and now this is like, well, I guess you can just kind of get eaten by anything and be okay, just like Boba Fett, you know, and the movie gets eaten by a Sarlacc in the Sarlacc pit, or maybe he doesn't get eaten but he gets into the pit at least.
The only thing I have to say about the Sarlacc pit is that if anyone could get out of it, it would be Boba Fett, because Sarlacc pits technically take 1,000 years to digest. Therefore, you got time to get out before you really start to like get screwed up by it. But also, he has Beskar armor and a jetpack. So if anyone was able to claw their way out and then jump out of it, it would have been him.
I'm okay with it. You know, I'm actually 100%
It really doesn't bother me, and I feel like you called it out because it feels like something I would be, but
I just kind of, again, that was a more devil's advocate thing too, because I'm not super upset about it, and I think Boba Fett didn't really have the proper amount of time to shine in the movies, and he's supposed to be like the best, most feared bounty hunter. So it's like, can we give that to him in this show, please? Finally,
isn't it wild that in like 1978 or 79 when the Star Wars Holiday Special came out and they teased Boba Fett for the first time.
They teased him in the Holiday Special?
He was in the Holiday Special, yeah.
Don't remember that.
He was in that he was in the cartoon bit.
Oh.
And he's like riding a thing and it's all weird. But when they first teased him, and now all this time later, they've retconned like a whole planet of those guys, and Boba Fett wasn't even one of those guys. He just had some armor for him. He's a clone. It's like, buddy, you know, like all this shit.
So
around
is that something
this.
We want to get into? Because that is something I need to like process. So
Star Wars is a never ending chain of retcons. That's
so
literally,
he was the first one that they created, and then they're like, it'd be cool if there was a bunch of them.
No. Boba
but then
Fett
they
is,
said no. But then they said, but he can't be one. Why? That's what I'm saying. Like, what? Why did they retcon it in that way? Why? Please explain to me.
When they said
right. So he's the okay. So they introduced Boba Fett. He's the first Mandalorian in canon, right? When they show him.
Well, when he's actually in the, they never reference Mandalorians.
He's
the
first one wearing that armor.
Yeah.
Like that you know of that you see.
Yep.
And then they say what we should. So what came first, Mandalorians or the clones? You know what I'm saying? Did they just
the clones technically came first because of the reference in A New Hope, but they're not at that time. They didn't really know. Lucas had no idea what the clones.
That's what I'm
saying.
Did they decide the clones and the prequels, or were there Mandalorians already? Does that make sense? Like, did they decide to say, okay, so first we have Boba Fett. I'm trying to see the train of thought. Boba Fett to Mandalorians, and then we're gonna make those into clones based off Mandalorians, or is it like we make Boba Fett clones into clone troopers, and then
well, technically
they came up with but there's a whole planet of Mandalorians. That's where he got his
Boba
armor.
Boba Fett is a clone. Jango Fett was what?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
All of the things were front, and Boba Fett's just a special clone that doesn't have the age rapid age thing.
They let him keep
him because he was supposed to be a son. I think how it worked was that they came out with Boba Fett, and then he was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if he figured out the idea for the clones, and he was like, oh, I can tie in the original stuff using Boba and then Jango, and I can tie it all together and create a backstory for that character for later, you know, in the prequels.
Then they
were like, okay, well, now let's create, like, a whole Mandalore, like, planet and sub-thing and stuff like that. Maybe Mandalore is older. Maybe it's from, like, old canon, like, before the prequels and stuff. I don't know.
Jango Fett wasn't one, was
no.
he?
Mm-mm.
So why?
They're just dudes.
I don't know how you get the thought of just saying, yeah, let's make a whole planet of these people, but he's not going to be one of them.
I'm pretty sure. Let me double check. There might be some Star Wars fan out there fucking screaming.
So confused, just because if you're gonna have more people like that, where did it go to say we're gonna have a like they want to make more of a person that's like this, but disassociate them at the same time. Does that make sense?
Right.
Because that's what I don't understand is, let's make more of this, but make sure they're not connected to that. Why? You're making it more complicated for no reason. If you want, if I were to say I like Jango Fett and Boba Fett and the armor and their warrior type, we just say Jango Fett. The easiest way to do this is say Jango Fett is from this planet of these warriors who wear this armor, and there you go. That's where he came from.
I guess Jango actually was a Mandalorian. I don't know why I thought he wasn't.
But Boba Fett's not. Why? Because he wasn't born on Mandalore. Because he's a clone, technically. Like,
and I don't know if he was able to do the proper, he wasn't part of it. It's kind of weird who you ask, because there's like different sects, obviously, that we've learned so far is that, you know, there's kind of the radical group that the Mandalorian in this show belongs to that kind of has a much more of like puritist kind of belief on how it works. And then there's the other guys who are kind of just more chill about it in other things. So I don't know if like to add, it's not because like Mandalorian in this show wasn't born on Mandalore or anything. Yeah. He was kind of adopted into it, but it's more of like living the life than it is where you come from that makes you one. It's a weird, I know.
Yeah,
because
I'm getting different answers. One of these things says Jango Fett was a renowned Mandalorian bounty hunter, aside, whatever. Then down further it says Jango Fett was a human male bounty hunter and the clone template for the Republic, whatever. Though allegedly from the planet Concord Dawn, Fett was not Mandalorian, but a common mercenary according to the government of Mandalore.
Yeah, so he didn't. He wasn't like officially affiliated with them. It's a weird system.
Why? Yeah. If you're making Star Wars, why would you make that so complicated? Especially now,
world building.
Especially now, because now you're looking for. It was very apparent that they were looking for Boba Fett in the original in the this first episode because they saw somebody that has Mandalorian armor.
Yep.
It was the tease, and then you're showing that he's still alive. So it's like, how is he going to have a play in this? Are they going to say he is a Mandalorian, or is it just going to team up with him later and then be like, I'm not a Mandalorian? It's like
I don't think he'd team up with him. If anything, I think he'd be an antagonist in this show.
Maybe. I don't know.
The Mandalorian is not going to agree with. He's going to be like, you're some kind of bastard amalgamation of.
But that's the other thing too. Is I feel like throughout these first three episodes is he's slowly learning that the Mandalorian is not exactly what he thought it was, because now you have these new group of them that do take their helmets off and they have different beliefs.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's becoming more open minded.
Well, that's kind of the thing, is that like when this show came out and they started talking about the helmet rule and all this is the way and stuff, all the people who knew about the extended universe were like, they take their helmets off. Like, we've seen Mandalore before. Like, the leader of Mandalore doesn't even wear armor. Like, you know, all the high officials don't wear armor. Like, this is a warrior.
So the show
was retconning things. They were like, the show is changing the history of Mandalore, because if you watch Clone Wars, you'll see Mandalore looks like a pretty normal. It looks like Coruscant or any normal humanoid planet. People aren't walking around in constant armor. The soldiers wear it,
yeah.
But everyone else is just chilling. So in this third episode, they've kind of started to reveal that he's part of a very radical sect of, like,
right.
Warrior tribe kind of Mandalore guys.
Which is interesting. I like that he's finding out more about his backstory and maybe questioning things and being more open-minded in that way. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe they will team up if he's like, oh, well, I was kind of wrong about what I thought this was, and I'm learning more. Just trying to do the right thing. But anyways,
yeah, but
it's interesting.
Boba Fett's also a bad dude.
I know they're taking their time, but it's interesting that there's been two more episodes and he hasn't come back.
Especially since he's on Tatooine. It seems like he's kind of stuck there. He looks like a nomad, and he doesn't have. He's probably clearly looking for his armor and stuff like that. But like, you know, if Mandalorian just leaves, he's out inside of Boba Fett's reach.
At the end of the first episode, I was like, okay, so next episode we're about to get some action and figure out what's going on.
Nope.
No. All right, so then, with that being said, what did we have the second episode? Going to number two.
Second episode, this one was a real step down.
Really?
I had fun watching it, and I was surprised because I really thought that I was like, okay, first episode's done. They spent all their money on the CG on this first one. They didn't. The second one looks great. The space flying
spiders,
around,
bro.
And like the environment, like the Hoth. I thought they were actually going on Hoth for a second. I was like, oh, cool.
I thought there was going to be
a Wampa in this episode.
When they walked into the cave, when he was like slowly walking, I was like, something's about to go down in this cave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it going to be?
Wampa? That would be amazing. But it wasn't. It was ice spiders. And that ice spider, that King Mac Daddy ice spider, looked amazing.
Yeah.
But this episode is just so. It starts out with he's returning from. On the speeder, and they have that quick fight with those like three dudes who like try to put up the thing to trip him off the whatever, and which all that's fine. And then
that was gonna be Boba's gang.
Boba's gang.
I was like,
I like the idea of the little Jawa with like the big gun and like the knife and stuff like that. And I liked how he tried to steal the jetpack and then flew him off and called it back. It was nice. I don't know how the jetpack fuel thing works, because it seemed like he didn't use it. After a speeder crash, you walked all the way back because it was like out of fuel, but then he just uses it later more.
So that was a very interesting thing that I was thinking, like, okay, now they have the jetpack. They have to work around a lot of things here because there's a lot of things he can now get out of.
I just need him to if he goes back to his ship and like refuels it, I'm fine. But give me a little bit of show me on his little wrist pad saying like beep, 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 low fuel. Like can't you, that blocks it off. And then like when he's back at his ship, show him like quickly like set it in a thing that refuels. You know what I mean? Just like little stuff like that, so I can keep it like, so it doesn't feel like he's just constantly has this option. Like in the third episode, after all the stuff on the boat goes down, he just flies off. And I was like, what were you doing on a boat? Why were you on a boat if you could just fly off at any time?
Well, because he said, come with me. I'll take you to the Jedi, the guy that he met
boat. No, he said, come with me. I'll take you to the other Mandalorian.
Whatever,
right?
Whoever they're looking for. Yeah.
But still,
so,
I mean, I
he
get
has
it.
To follow him. What is he going to do? Pick up the guy and jetpack with him?
Well, they have maps and stuff. He could have just been like, hey, go over there. And then he just flies over. Like, it just, I thought that
one was fine. It was really when they came back, when after the other Mandalorians showed up and they docked, and he was like, you killed my brother. I was like, just fly away, dude.
Yeah.
He was being surrounded by people.
By dudes with like melee weapons.
But everybody came in and saved him again. Mm-hmm. Which that one was kind of cool because they all fought together. like at the same time they all dropped, and it was like it was me, and they all like drew their guns at once.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's too many options to kind of get out of things, which is fine. And they actually, I've kind of been watching it, and they haven't. It hasn't been too crazy, but there are a couple spots where you're like, well, you have a jetpack, so.
Yeah. I will say that. So second episode. This is where, like, I think the max examples of all the little bullshit things where obviously it's like, you got to take this frog lady, she's got her eggs. They'll die if she goes into hyperspeed for whatever reason. And then, so she's like, okay, fine. He agrees. They get in there. They're flying through. Two X-Wings just find them. I guess they just patrol all of space, hoping that people aren't going light speed for the only reason I can think of that you wouldn't. is for this frog lady's eggs. So this has to be a big deal for them. Whatever. And then they have like this weird long extended conversation where it's like, could you send over your code? I don't have a code. You're gonna kind of need a code. Like, I felt like they were like dirty X-Wing fighters. Like, I thought they were like trying to extort them for money at first.
It literally
was so
like,
awkward.
It felt like, it didn't feel like that to me because he is kind of like he's a bounty hunter. He's a little bit criminal,
and
right?
Yeah, he got in trouble for what he did with Bill Burr in that other episode of the first season.
He knew that, or else he would have just sent a code. He knew that what he was doing, where he was, and everything he's done, it's not going to be pretty. Any enforcement. Mm-hmm. So like, it felt like two police were like pulling somebody over. Is what
right.
It felt like to me.
And he's got weed in the car, and he's like trying to get around.
Well, not really. I think it was a little more complicated than that. I felt like it was like, yeah, I killed some people, and I tried. I think I did it for a good reason, but no one gonna believe me.
So, and that is gonna be important at the end of this episode, which is complete horseshit. So he gets into this thing. They get into this extended. They're chasing him on the planet, and he's like, you know, dipping and diving through ice. He escapes him, but then he falls through ice and gets trapped. Yeah. Then you have all the stuff with, you know, frog lady. Like, here's a weird thing. He basically goes, he looks at the outside of the ship and he goes, damn, yeah, that shit's broke. I'm gonna go to sleep. Like, no, what? Fix the ship. Don't, why would, like, we're all gonna freeze to death. I'm asleep. Like, what? No. Like, she, frog lady has a legitimate point when she rebuilds the robot heads or whatever and then talks to him through the, which she does that. And then later on in that episode and then the third one, she just understands him after that.
No, she can understand him. He can't understand her.
No, but he's telling her things. And in the beginning of that episode, she's just looking at him.
No, she understood him. Yeah, she was talking to him, and then she was saying things back, and he was like, I don't
know.
They
literally have a conversation that's like, you can't understand me, can you? And she just stares at him.
I don't remember that at all.
She doesn't try at all to, like, nod her head or do any kind of, like...
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought she could understand him the whole time. I thought it was just the other way around.
No, yeah.
I don't know.
Because he's, like, trying to figure out a language that they both speak, and she just is just, like, silent looking at him like someone is when they don't understand what you're saying and they don't speak the language at all.
I thought she was expecting a response back, and he's like, I can't speak your language, so that was the barrier.
No. Also, okay, big thing, big problem. What the fuck is up with Baby Yoda eating the eggs, dude?
He likes eggs.
Did this not... Okay, so this is... I don't know if you've seen, but this has caused pretty widespread controversy about this show.
Why?
People are upset, and kind of me too, to be honest.
Why?
It's weird, dude.
You know what fish eggs are and that we eat them? It's a frog. It's frog's eggs.
But it's a sentient frog.
Did you see what was in his soup in the third episode? A live creature. This is Star Wars. They're eating things.
But there, it's
this
like,
isn't Earth.
Okay,
here's
the thing. It felt like because she is walking around, she's a mother of like a sentient. She's a person, but she's a frog, right? Okay, so it's like, you know, if somebody ate, you know, Darth Maul's unborn fetus or something like that, that would feel really weird, wouldn't it?
I'm not going to say it felt exactly the same as the other things, like the octopus. Yes.
Yes, we eat chicken eggs, but chicken eggs don't walk around two legs and talk.
I understand what you're saying completely, but because of that, it was kind of like, but it was like kind of funny, but maybe they did it too many times.
They did it like four or five
times.
Right,
maybe they did it too many times, but at the same time, I get it because it's this Baby Yoda creature that doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, I get it. It's
like, dude, because part of me is like, my man just ate the lady's eggs.
I know.
So that, but
it's wild, but it made me feel weird. I was like, God, he just ate like an unborn baby.
So
weird.
It made me feel maybe a little weird, but at the same time, it was maybe, I don't know if I'm wrong for this. Maybe I am, but it was kind of like, I liked the reaction I got out of it. I was like, this man just ate these people's babies. Like, what?
Yeah, but like, it was, they've spent so much time but saying, I understood it. Please, like, I got to get my babies to the thing. And your baby goes, like, why? I know. It's insane. I love it. So, like, weird, dark, kind of, you know?
I love it.
It's so out of tone for
the
show. I'm
sticking to it. I love it. Because there's so many. Obviously, if there's like two of them, like,
and I guess,
you know what I mean?
It feels like I read a Screen Rant article that was like, oh, the husband can only fertilize one of those eggs out of all of them. And that's why they only had one little baby after. And so it's like, well, you know, they didn't even, all the other ones are going to die anyway.
Fertilize all of them or not. I stand by the choice.
Just so many, it was like four times where he has to tell him, stop eating her unborn children. Like,
you're laughing about it now, right?
Man, what a, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to like stop watching the show or anything. It's just like, from a creative perspective, I'm like, oh, weird. I just don't remember Yoda's species being so known for being voraciously hungry. Because not only is he eating those eggs, but then he goes and eats a raw spider out of an egg, dude. He just grabs like a gooey spider fetus out of an egg and just munches it whole. I was like, dude, why the fuck is he so hungry? Why is he so hungry? He's very small. Like, one of those eggs is like the equivalent of you eating like a really, like a whole turkey to his body size.
He's a grown boy.
I really thought they were going to reveal at the end of the episode, like, all of her other eggs were going to get destroyed, and he was going to, like, spit them back up and be like, I kept them safe. I'm a good boy. I wasn't eating them. Nope. Fucker was just eating.
Heck yeah, Yoda. You go, Yoda. You're hungry. You eat what you can.
That would have been great in like the original trilogy. You see like Yoda and on Dagobah, he's on his little thing, and like while he's making soup, he like sees like a regular frog like on his windowsill because they're in a swamp, and he just grabs it and puts in the soup or something. Because I mean, now I'm like expecting, I'm like, man, never saw Yoda eat enough
frog,
live things.
Sees that it's pregnant and just squirts the eggs into his mouth straight out.
God, Jesus.
And I'm just like, yeah, yeah.
Like, we never even really see Yoda eat much, except for that, like, one soup he makes in Empire. But, like, man, now I'm, like, thinking, like,
He was rummaging through Luke's pack, though. Yeah. I'm telling you, those guys are hungry.
He was like, no, nothing's alive in here. I can't eat it.
They're hungry, man. They're always looking for food.
It's wild.
During the first, like, the prequel episode, you see Yoda sitting on his, like, council chair just, like, like snacking on, like, little crickets.
He's eating, like, Keanu Mundi's, like, children. Like, right? Get fucked, I'm head of the council.
Yoda walks up to Anakin later. Where'd you put those younglings? when Obi-Wan walks in and finds the younglings, it was Obi-Wan that he walked in, right? He just sees Yoda on his knees, like munching on him.
Like, like blood dripping down his face. Oh, man. That goes to show, if you made like a Star Wars horror movie about Yoda's species being like carnivorous, like these tiny little carnivorous being, they'd be fucking scary as shit. Can you imagine just a little bloodthirsty Yoda looking people like running around?
Maybe that's what we'll find when he goes to return them.
That'd be wild. They're basically all like little weird frog koala bears that just like sit there and eat shit and just make noise, and they're really dumb.
Oh, that's so good.
Yoda was the exception. And Yaddle. But anyway, So the way this episode ends, let me say
I like this episode. It added a different
element.
The
ending is bullshit.
Yeah, I will give you that.
Yeah.
But I did really like watching all the chase scene with the spiders when they were just like it was like horror movie esque, like they're crawling up and into like the spaceship, like through the closing doors and like having to fend them off.
I like all the different sizes of spiders. Like, it's like there's all the little ones, but then they get progressively bigger, and then obviously
Mac
Daddy.
I was like, they're gonna get in their ship, but their ship's open. Oh, they're in the ship. Oh, they gotta go to the top. Oh, and they just like kept pushing through the door. I was like, it was
and even
really
then,
cool.
Then big spider shows up and starts like jabbing.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
Really cool suspenseful moment. And I'm like, I literally said to myself, like in my head, I was like, how are they going to get out of this? And it is frustrating. They had to take a very lazy route because it would have been
so cool to show him
being smart in the big like warrior that he is and pull something really cool. But they didn't.
I think that would have, this would have been the instance where he could have gotten eaten more realistically by the big spider and then like blown it out from the inside, and then all the baby spiders were like, oh shit, and they backed off or something. That would have been a better thing.
Even though when the mouth came on top of it, there's like a bunch of rings of teeth. So again, there's issues.
Yeah, but they're smaller, and they couldn't make it through the windshield. So I can imagine that it would have time. It would have a struggle getting through his armor.
What he should have done is right when the mouth like sucked on like the top of the like windshield or whatever,
shot his gun a shit ton through the
like
glass.
He activates his jetpack, and right when the mouth like and all the teeth open wide, he just goes straight up into it and literally like shoots his gun a bunch and blasts it through the top, and it just like slowly falls over.
I super thought Baby Yoda was gonna do some Jedi shit, and like that's how I thought
that
they were
would
get out of it.
Honestly, yeah, convenience maybe, but like that would make more sense than the X-Men.
And I really thought yes, it would, where it would just feel better. I thought Baby Yoda was gonna do regular Yoda thing, where he lifts the Razor Crest or the X-Wing and Empire out of like the swamp and moves it. And
that
would have
been
cool. I thought that's what they were gonna go for. Although that would have been kind of bullshit, because Yoda, like Baby Yoda, I mean, he lifts up the Mudhorn, which I thought was a little too far.
Big.
The Razor Crest, nah, man, that was too much.
I mean, at this rate, whatever. But
So X-Wing guys, they show up, they save him, and then they basically go like,
"You're good.
We were chasing you, but
you helped out our buddies.
We somehow found out how you helped out, and so that happened. So we're good, but we were still chasing you for hours.
We're not
going to
help you
out.
We
knew
we'll leave you.
And so we killed all the spiders, but then go fuck yourself. Like, what is this ending of this episode? Clearly, like, they just had no idea, and they just wrote some shit.
These are trying times.
But these are trying times. Also, why is every X-Wing fighter kind of like a chubby dude? It's like a prerequisite for sitting in a... They're like the truckers of the Star Wars universe, basically.
I like the episode overall. The end, I agree. I wish they did something more clever, but I liked everything else. I liked when they were running away from all the spiders and the frog went into frog form.
Yeah, that
all
was cool.
Fours.
I was wondering, she's slow as hell. I'm like, this ain't gonna work.
She's like, rah, rah, on all fours. Like, that's kind of dope. I really liked it.
I thought it was weird when like Frog Lady was naked, and then I was like, I noticed it at first when she was in the like hot springs.
I was
like collecting the ice, and like, are they gonna address that she was fully clothed and now she's not? And it's like, is that weird? I don't even know if that should be weird. They're like, they have different anatomy. It's almost like seeing a dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird. But then she
a
like
dog
does
you can talk to. Yeah. If we could talk to our dogs, would it then be weird to be able to see their private parts?
Only when they come out.
What?
When the when they you know get ready.
What are you talking about?
You know, like when dogs get in that. Jesus Christ!
No, what are you, I'm talking about just at all when
like red rocket shit, you know, because they're kind of like covered, right?
I'm talking about males and females. I'm talking about when they if they can all of a sudden talk to you. Is it then weird because they are just naked? I don't care about when they get horny.
No,
what?
I'm saying, but you can't really see anything until that happens. I mean, it's kind of. I mean, dogs.
It's still
dogs.
Skin,
if they're
dude.
Not neutered, then it's you can definitely see their balls. But like, you know, the rest of it, especially with female dogs, it is not easy to see their bits. Like,
so as long as I'm hairy enough, I can walk around naked.
Honestly, yeah.
Probably get because you can see the shape of a male dog's thang, dude. It's just hair around it. So,
yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Last episode.
So, this one was kind of strange how it was set up to. You kind of goes down, and it's, I guess, like a weird water planet. I did like when they're on the boat. And I don't know what those squid guys or octopus guys are supposed to be called, but he's kind of like, hey, have you ever seen this happen? Come let the kid watch. And I was like, okay, I mean, that seems like what people would do. And then he fucking just yeets Baby Yoda into the pit and lets it get eaten. I was like, oh, shit.
Good
and then
twist.
He dives in after him, and then like all this other stuff happened. But it's another example of like Mandalorian clearly getting himself stuck in a situation where he's going to die, and then someone just out of nowhere pops up and rescues him.
Luckily. At the beginning, when they got to the port, the hooded person, who was one of the Mandalorians, saw him and was probably following the whole time. So they're probably looking out for him.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, I can accept a couple sort of coincidences like that.
Why not just reach out to him? And this is what I was thinking. I was like, why did they wait until he was in danger to, like, come after him? Why not just...
That's the better question, because, like, if you're following him...
Just stop him right there and be like, hey, you know, it's 3v1, and, you know, I mean, like, you know... And they did not seem to ever question if he was a good or bad guy.
Yeah.
They were always just kind of like, oh, yeah, you're on our side.
Maybe they were trying to find out if he was a real Mandalorian or if there was a threat to them or like what's going on. And then it's like, well, he's being attacked. We should help him.
It was cool to see Bo-Katan, who's now Katie Sackhoff's character in this, because she was a pretty big deal in Clone Wars. I know that doesn't really mean much to you. But
well, this show is making me want to watch more Clone Wars, especially with the tease they left at the end. I was like, I need more.
Yeah.
So I can be excited when this comes out.
And it totally makes sense that she would know like where Ahsoka is. I'm very excited about like the Ahsoka thing, although it's going to be super weird.
I am really excited about Ahsoka, but not to the point of like if I had seen all the Clone Wars.
Sure, yeah, of course.
And I want to be.
So it's that's going to be wild. I wonder if that's going to be next episode, if they're going to keep that off for a little bit longer. But
main thoughts for me on this episode is I like that he's starting to question, I think, like I was saying before, exactly what the Mandalorians are. Maybe become more open-minded, progressing as a character in that way, I think is cool, instead of just like one tough situation after the other. Like, you're digging into kind of more lore and what he thinks about it, how it's affecting him. I think that's the start of it anyways. So I like that. I like the episode overall. I don't have much to say besides those things that we talked about before, is like the few coincidences and stuff there. But again, entertaining and not enough to like completely throw me anyways.
Yeah, for the most part. It wasn't a crazy, like, I wouldn't say it's like a great episode by anything. It seemed like a very kind of, you know, middle,
the end was really cool.
I do
like all the stuff they did.
It was again directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, who did the other episode that was the like town in the first season, like let's raise up the town and fight against the AT-AT and stuff like that. I think it's probably better than that episode. It's just in general, because that episode had a lot of problems and little weird things about like training Star Wars people to use sticks to fight an AT-AT. It's like, fucking, what are you doing? But yeah, so, you know, it was cool. I liked it, fair enough.
So what's the deal with the Empire, though?
So we know from obviously the sequels that the Empire is still around in some capacity, and then they transition into the First Order.
Right.
So yeah, there has to be some kind of greater fleet. I liked them so much more in the first season, though, because it felt like in the first season when they show up and they're talking to, you know, the old dude, I can't remember his name, and you see like dirty stormtroopers on that planet, stuff like that. It felt like you were finding Nazis in the middle of like Argentina in like the 50s.
Right.
You know, if it was like, oh shit, these are like the remnants of really bad dudes,
but
and like
now they're on like a big ship in front of everybody.
And now they're acting like it's still Empire times. Like they're out in the open, they're transporting stuff, they're all wearing their official uniforms. Like it feels much too like it's still in the original trilogy. I liked it when they were more gritty, underground, like they were just another crime thing that was trying to raise up kind of a vibe. But I guess canonically it still makes sense that they have a presence like that and stuff like that.
So are there areas where people are still worried about them?
Well, I think that like the rebellion is basically flipped now in this part of time, where it was a large empire trying to hunt down the last little bit of rebellion. Now it's a large rebellion trying to or a large republic trying to hunt down the last little remnants of empire boys.
Yeah, and there's probably still like planets or cities on planets where it's like, sure, that broke down, but you have the leaders of like the generals and stuff over those cities that have been in control, and then they're like, we're keeping this, and then like continue to have that rule over the people, for sure, until they can, everyone, the Republic can then go around and break everything up. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a weird little thing, and it's interesting that I just blanked.
Awesome.
Nice. Moving
on. Super interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that will progress and how big of an. I mean, because the whole Moff Gideon, you know. Guy with the darksaber and stuff like that, and that's clearly what she's looking for. Bo-Katan there, she's looking for Moff Gideon and the darksaber and stuff like that. So that's all going to become, I'm assuming, very important by like the last couple episodes of this season. I'm just curious to see how they're going to, you know, kind of tie it all together. And
well, they're throwing a bunch of big people at us. You got Boba Fett, now we got Ahsoka, and it's like, we're excited for Ahsoka, but dude, it's been two episodes since Boba. Not a lot, but still. So how long is it going to be till we see Ahsoka? It's like, who knows? It could be the last episode of the season they tease.
Well, it
something.
Felt like very soon, because that's his
felt
next.
Like,
well, yeah.
I thought that we're going to see Boba in the next episode,
but
we didn't.
Well, but as far as that's the only thing he has to do to progress
that
the story?
That is the next place for him to go, whereas Boba was like watching from afar as he passed by, so it makes more sense that he's still in the shadows.
So, but at the same time, they could easily spend an episode while he's in transit. That was the second
with
episode.
The lizard
this,
man instead of a frog lady.
Yeah. Exactly.
As long as Baby Yoda eats more people's children, I'm good.
As we go forward, I kind of want to see more, a little bit more bounty hunter stuff, him interacting with other bounty hunters and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
If we can. Because it started out, this guy's a bounty hunter. And it's like, now it's like we're in the second season. This guy's not really a bounty hunter. You know what I mean?
It's been a minute since I've seen the first season.
Yeah.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember because he found Baby Yoda in the beginning of. Is it the first episode or second?
It's the first episode. End of the first episode. Because in the first episode, they say the Empire gives him the job and he's like, yeah, we're looking for the 50-year-old creature.
He was doing other bounty hunter stuff and just keeping that thing safe before he got the task to take it to its people, right?
Right. Because he was like, he was talking. He helped the people on the on the other planet. Then he went off and did with the other actual bounty hunters and got in trouble with the, you know, trying to do a prison break and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you want more of that? I kind of like though. If you had the first one like that, and then the second season, you give him a more direct story arc, a little bit different stuff. But I'm just curious, see how it goes.
Yeah, just somehow you can incorporate more bounty hunter stuff into what he's already doing. Like, it's clear that he has a very clear objective, but you're already constantly throwing little excuses for him to go do side quests all the time. Yeah. So if you're going to do that, might as well throw in more of the bounty hunter shit that I like, you know?
Right. Where is Boba Fett's armor? We saw it, I guess, it's just on his ship somewhere.
Yeah, it's just somewhere stowed away.
Or maybe not. Maybe Boba followed him to his ship, stowed away, and he's been on there the whole time. Or he stole his armor, and then he'll meet him later, and then he'll be like, you took the armor from me.
I love how, like, crap his ship looks now. It's all, like, patchworked with, like, shitty pieces of metal. And, like, when he lightspeed away, like, shit was falling off of it and stuff.
It was giving it, like, a Millennium Falcon vibe of far as, like, starting to get kind of trashy, but, like, still a really good ship with a really good pilot, and then you have like so much like story behind it and lore that like adds stuff instead of just being this nice shiny ship. And at first I was like, man, this would be cool, they're gonna break down a ship, maybe we'll have to get a new one. And I'm like, wait, the ship's kind of getting character now, I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah
Which is cool.
I do like that they kind of respect, like, the only reason that he was able to get away from those X-Wings is because they weren't shooting at him, you know what I mean? They were just following it. Those X-Wings had him the whole time. They're way more badass than his ship is as far as like combat and stuff like that, but they were just like, he was just able to do a more risky maneuver to get away from them,
right?
You
the
know?
Beginning was perfectly fine with the X-Wings. It was the end when they showed up.
Yeah, for sure.
But all right
well, that's I think that's it.
Yeah, pretty much, dude.
Excited to see where it goes, but you know, it's I don't think it's ever gonna be the like crazy great Star Wars show that I want it to be, like the like hard hitting drama, like.
Okay, well,
thing.
So that's what I want to get into then, real quick, before we wrap up. Yeah. Is like, what could they do for you to like for that? Because you're like, it's never going to be. Okay, let's put it this way.
I'm afraid it's never. I'm not saying it can't be.
Nothing obviously is going to be ever be perfect.
Sure,
but at the same time, you were saying that like. This is at a point where if it came with new episodes every Friday for the rest of my life, I would watch them and I would be entertained.
Yes.
So what is the breakthrough? Like, what is the main sustenance, like the substance that you want from a Star Wars show?
I wanted this to be like Star Wars Game of Thrones. I wanted there to be like some little comedic elements here or there, but really like a world building, gritty, dark drama about the thing where, you know, anything can happen at any time. Like, it's a dark thing that's kind of, and it only has like light references to Jedi and the Force and all that kind of stuff, but it's mostly just about people and like kind of these morally gray decisions and that kind of stuff, like living in between the lines and, you know, that kind of thing. It's hard to describe, kind of.
But then would it have to be a show not necessarily more about one person, but like a group of people?
Not necessarily. I don't think that's what defines Game of Thrones. Like, what I mean by
we just
Game
have
of
more
Thrones
options to see all that.
Sure.
Kind of
I mean, I think that could help. So yeah, if it were about that, if it did have many perspectives opposed to the single, but I like the Western format. I just wish, you know, I kind of wish it wasn't on Disney Plus, because then I could get away with doing a little bit more like stuff, and it didn't have to be.
Say goodnight to that option.
Yeah, exactly.
Disney has it and will not let go,
unless they do a Star Wars show on Hulu or something for adults. That's not, you know, because
that
they.
Disney is going to. Does Disney own Hulu?
At least a majority share of it. So it's possible that they could do that for Marvel and Disney, where if they wanted to do something targeted towards adults, like a darker drama, which I don't think is out of the question going into the future here, that they would most likely do it on Hulu opposed to Disney, because they want to keep Disney Plus fairly family friendly throughout. You know,
eating people's children apparently is family friendly, huh?
Yeah, that's...
But, well, I enjoy it. I do like it. But I agree. I do think that that would be interesting to have a darker show, too, as well. But cool. I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Yep. Yep. I guess if it's still going to be 8 episodes, then we're getting close to the halfway mark already.
That's crazy. Yeah. Was it only 8?
Yep. Because this was 9, 10, and 11.
I want more.
I know, but it's an expensive show to make.
I mean, and it's worth it, so that's good. Yeah. Like, as far as, like, you know, you can tell where the money's going, and it looks really good. So, all right, until next time, whenever that'll be for me.
All right, I'll see you guys very soon.
And I'll see you guys in the future in a galaxy far, far away.
Bye, 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 bye.
Until then. That's been.
Are we gonna keep this going for fucking forever,
movies,
brother? Jesus.
I can't end this. I refuse. I can't bring myself to do it. This is it. This is it for me. No.
I'm gonna go.
Okay, bye.